Here's my Old Testament story for you. I have a New Testament one too. 2 Chronicles 20. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the... I'm reading from a different translation. I don't know this word. Meunites. That's some people group. Anyway, they came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, that was the king of Judah, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is Engedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? And they have lived in it, and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house,' and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, 'Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. It was a great victory that God gave to Jehoshaphat and to his people that day, and the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. The fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. It was quite an interesting tactic, wasn't it? But the Lord had shown them to do this. In front of the fighting troops, they put the singers, and the singers sang what we're supposed to sing and what we're supposed to say. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. How do I know that we're supposed to say that? Well, I'm thinking of one passage anyway in Psalm 107 where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's the King James Version. And I always used to think it meant, let the redeemed of the Lord say that they are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They should say that they are redeemed. And then I found out that it really means, it literally means, that they should speak thus. Let them say this. Thanks to the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak thus, say so. Let them say that his mercy endures forever. It's good to say that you're redeemed. I just mean that the sentence means that we ought to say, be saying this and be saying it again and again. Oh, give thanks unto... Are you one of the redeemed? You'd say, yes, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Then I'd say, have you said this today? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Have you said that today? The Bible says that you should be saying that if you're among the redeemed. So learn to say it, and say it from your heart. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I sometimes when you're in meeting, and maybe you could point the finger at myself too, you wonder if it's more like, let the redeemed of the Lord say, so what, you know, so, big deal. You know, there's like no response to this great, great, great mercy. Oh, I wasn't going to preach. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And this is what they were saying. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And as they began to sing in praise, the Lord did just what he said he was going to do. And that was fight for them. Stand firm. Hold your position. You don't need to fight in the usual way. God is going to fight. And what did he do? He set the enemies to fighting each other. He did that on several occasions. That's really something. God can do anything. God is so great and so mighty. And so they didn't have to fight. These men fought each other. And it says they devoted them to destruction. When they made an end of the one group, they helped to destroy one another. And so God's people just had to sing his praise and continue to sing his praise. Lord, look, you fought for us. You spared us. You saved us in our possession, the inheritance that you gave us. Now, my New Testament story is Acts 16, Paul and Silas in Philippi. They heard the Macedonian call. They went over and they started serving the Lord in Philippi. And here it says they were going to the place of prayer, Acts 16:16, as Luke tells the story. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced, along with his entire household, that he had believed in God. An Old Testament example and a New Testament example of the blessing of singing praise to God. God stretches forth his hand when he is acknowledged and trusted, and when we make way for him. I remember being in, that was in that same meeting in Vancouver, or I mean a series of meetings, and hearing a prayer in Chinese, and I understood what was being said. How was that? Well, they gave us earphones, and we were on the radio, and a kid was speaking into them, telling us what was going on. You know what he said? It was I believe it was a woman that was praying, but he said to us who were needing the translation, "Oh, we're so thankful this woman was praying, that you choose our praises for your throne." You know, it says that in the Psalms. The Lord sits enthroned upon the praises of his people. He sits enthroned on the praises of his people. And this woman was just thanking him. We had just been praising the Lord with all our hearts. "You choose our praises as your throne." But you think about that verse in the Psalms, and it's has to do with acknowledging him. He is high and lifted up, exalted, far above all. He is the King eternal, and all power and authority is his. And we do well to acknowledge him and bow before him and rejoice if we have experienced him and know something of his great salvation and the power of his hand and the joy of his presence in our midst. Cry out and shout, sing unto the Lord, he has done excellent things, this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. One more passage before I, as I'm looking at it, I could tell you that the verses that we quoted before and that Sister Aletha sang, by the way, also, rejoice evermore or rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know those verses are found, right? In Philippians. And when Paul wrote to the Philippian church and said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And you are the real true people of God who rejoice in Christ Jesus. When he wrote that way to them, that carried some weight. Their church was formed because this man sang praises to God. At midnight, when you think he could have been saying, oh man, does that hurt? Why did they have to beat us with rods? We're Roman citizens. We could have spoken up and avoided all this. Instead of that, he was singing praises to God. And so when he writes to them, rejoice in the Lord, I'm sure they say, this is something we should do. This is something that we've had the example before us of someone who rejoiced in time of adversity, of someone who sang praises to God. Thank God for what he has done. And what he's done for us. And when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said that it has something to do with being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Think of it. Could it be that that's one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit? When the Spirit is Lord in a group of people, what do? They address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Not just a little peep, you know, but with all your heart. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the joy of the Lord, and that joy finds expression. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. I meant what I said. I just wanted to read the scripture to you tonight and show that it's not something that the minister just is harping on, but it's something that the Lord, it's a wonderful way that the Lord has made for his people. He shows us his salvation when we offer him our praise. Hallelujah. Psalm 50. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and I will show him my salvation. Amen. I talked about a song that we're going to sing together tonight. And let's do that yet. And then let's just take a little time together to sing the song that the Lord has given us. Would you like to do that yet tonight? I would. I'd like you to sing that new song that he's put into your heart. And just praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Singing to Jesus. Singing for Jesus. It's our theme today. And so let's close out the day with a song of joy and rejoicing. Shall we do that? I think that would be pleasing to the Lord. And that verse that I was quoting this morning is verse 6. So you definitely want to sing that one with all your heart. And another one, verse 5. Look at that while we're passing out the papers. Because this language is probably a little different from something that you might use or I might use. Brightness of the Father's glory. Who's that? The Lord Jesus. We're praising him. Then it says, shall your praise unuttered lie? That means the praise of Jesus, right? Shall we keep from singing it? That's what that means. Shall your praise, brightness of the Father's glory, that's King Jesus. Shall your praise unuttered lie? Question, am I going to be quiet, be silent, when I should be praising you? Then fly my tongue such guilty silence. That's another way of saying, God forbid, don't let that be. No way. Fly my tongue such guilty silence. Sing the Lord who came to die. Sing his praises. Okay, I think the rest is rather self-explanatory. Let's sing it together. Oh, you had one left? Good. Does everybody have what you need? Everybody sings the melody, unless you want to choose one of those notes in there, but go into your parts on the chorus, okay? Mighty God, while angels bless you, may all mortals sing your name.
that
Song in our hearts and in our mouths, praise unto our God. In the heart he implanted the song, Lord. If any of us has lacked that song or has failed to sing it and give expression to the joy that you want us to have, we pray that you will work in our hearts, implant that song afresh and anew, and help us to go from this place rejoicing in you, our great Savior. Oh Lord, we know that you give songs in the night. We know that there are difficult times that your people go through. We thank you that you give songs in the darkest hours, Lord, and that those songs help to carry us through. Thank you, Lord. You know all about us. You know our frame. You remember that we are dust, but we bless your name tonight. We bless you, Lord, and may our hearts and our mouths be filled with your praises all the day long, we pray. For your great name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you all. Let's go rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I love you all. Keep smiling and praising Jesus.